I call the meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present. And we have a bill author here. We have quorum. We are ready to rock. And so with that, we do have a set of, we have two minute approval of minutes that we need from previous hearings. So Vice Chair Edelson, would you move approval of the minutes from Monday, February 27th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. The second set of minutes we have are from Wednesday, March 1st, 2023. Vice Chair Edelson, would you like to make a motion to approve those minutes?
That's my motion.
Yes. Representative Feinsman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unfortunately, I have noticed a mistake in the minutes.
Oh, great. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Can you note the mistake, please, Representative Feinsman?
We could talk offline if you'd like.
Okay, so we will not do approval of the minutes today, and we can have a conversation after committee. So so we will hold on the March 1st, 2023 minutes. Great, so that is, we have one bill on the calendar for today, which is House File 1440. And Representative Howard, you are a member of the committee, so would you like to move that House File 1440 be re-referred to the General Register?
Yes, Geraldson, so moved.
Thank you for your motion. And you have an author's amendment, the A8 amendment. Would you like to move that and adopt it and then describe your bill?
Yes, Chair. I would move to adopt the A8 amendment.
Okay. And maybe I will have you just quickly, if you could walk through the change you're making in the A8 amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The main substantive changes were reducing spending in the A8 from $100 million to $50 million. Narrowing the scope of the bill to resources that we can target on a more urgent basis.
Great. Any discussion to the A8 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A8 amendment is adopted. So to your bill as amended, Representative Howard.
Thank you, Chair Olson and members of the committee. Members, last Thursday on the House floor, we passed the Pathway Home Act, a bill with critical resources to support Minnesotans who are experiencing homelessness. And what this bill will do will help prevent Minnesotans from becoming homeless, and it's urgently needed. Throughout much of the pandemic, federal resources were utilized so that Minnesotans could stay home and stay safe. And it worked. We helped Minnesotans stabilize in their homes, landlords were made whole, and we kept our state moving forward. In the beginning of 2022, those federal resources dried up, but the needs facing Minnesotans did not. And we've seen significant consequences for our community all across the state since. And I just want to highlight a few data points that underscore, I think, what we all know is happening quite well. In 2022, Greater Twin Cities United Way's 211 Resource Helpline received more than 400,000 calls from Minnesotans, and the top reason people reached out to 211 was concerns for housing, shelter, and utility assistance, which represented 64% of all of their requests. Last year, there were more than 20,000 evictions in Minnesota, a huge spike that places evictions up surpassing pre-pandemic levels. In several counties, family homelessness up is skyrocketing. In Hennepin County alone, there was a 278% increase in family homelessness last year. Members, we have a multi-layered, long-term challenge with our housing crisis that requires that we pursue both immediate and long-term solutions. And this bill represents the crisis that folks are facing right now and will help us keep folks stable in their home and ensure that they have the emergency rental assistance if someone, you know, loses a job and falls behind. Someone that is paying more than 60% of their income in rent, if you miss a paycheck, you're going to be in dire straits, and this bill responds to that concern. It does so through an investment in the Family Homelessness Prevention Assistance Program, or FHPAP, which is a well-established program serving Minnesotans in all 87 counties across the state. Local experts are able to coordinate with Minnesotans experiencing housing instability and help with emergency rental assistance and other housing essentials when folks are facing a crisis. It's a program that has worked well, preventing housing displacement and evictions, getting us upstream to help families before they face homelessness, and all of the collateral consequences that come with it. As I mentioned, this bill will provide $50 million in influx in funding for FHPAP that will flow to existing FHPAP grantees. In doing so, we can get resources out the door quickly because the need is significant and right now. When this bill was before the Housing Committee, we heard from FHPAP administrators in both suburban and greater Minnesota communities. One shared that they traditionally release FHPAP dollars quarterly, and that the need is so great that by the end of the first week, all of their funds are expended. So that gets at the urgent need and how scarce the resources are currently. With a $17 billion surplus, there's no reason to wait. With urgency, we have a chance to prevent homelessness for Minnesotans all across the state, and I would encourage your support.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Discussion to the bill. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author who's hiding behind the chair. I appreciate that you've amended in the reporting piece that we'd asked for. I think that when we make grants of this size, that adding some of that reporting is important, particularly since I think in our committee we've beaten that drum maybe, you know, a couple times more than you'd like. But so as to the $50 million, I certainly understand that this is a priority for you all, and that there are people who find themselves in situations. But I do know that there used to be a limit on the number of months that could be provided. Can you tell us what that was and what it's changed to in your bill?
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative Nash. So I believe with FHPAP, you can receive up to 24 months of assistance, and that is different than the emergency rental assistance that was utilized through federal dollars, which I believe had an 18-month cap. And so it does speak to some of the interaction with those pieces. Folks that, for example, if you had been sort of timed out, you had used all of that allotment of federal resources, you may be able to access FHPAP resources.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I certainly understand, and we've talked about this in committee, so I won't hog a lot of the time here, but I just think that I would like to find a way to shorten the length and help people learn to get off of this. I mean, I think we share that goal, is to get people to be able to stand on their own. And then I'll just make the comment that once again, I you and I see housing sometimes in a little different light. I think we both recognize the absolute impact that housing and stability make in people's lives, and I am supportive of many of the issues that are behind this, but I just couldn't let this $50 million go by without talking about the fact that we are in need of building more here in the state of Minnesota, building more, and this doesn't actually build any new homes. We are the absolute worst in the country as from an inventory perspective. And it's ironic that we have this bill in Ways and Means today because it's housing day here on the Hill. We need to build more houses. And to the best of my recollection, we have not talked really about building much in our committee. And I think that that's regrettable. I'll be voting no. I encourage members on my side to vote no. I think that there are some worthy efforts in here, but I just think that the overall span of the spend is pretty high, particularly when we're looking at a housing inventory crisis that's gone yet unaddressed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author, Chair Howard. So I'm glad to hear you say earlier that you think you're going to get this in your target. In regards to that, because we haven't really seen those targets yet, and this would be quite an increase from previous targets. So appreciate that. My question really revolves around kind of what Representative Nash talked about too, and that is the timing. Earlier in your presentation, you talked about last year being a record number of evictions. But I think if we keep that in perspective, the previous 2 years was probably a record low number of evictions. And so that was just catching up from what the government kind of mandated and kind of put people into. And so it's a situation where people, and I've talked to quite a few landlords, one just on Saturday who said he had an individual that didn't pay for 3 years, and then was evicted, and then he was going to be sued by it until the landowner talked to the attorney and said, well, he could apply for the back rent. Well, finally they did, and he got most of it back. But I asked him, I said, so what did this individual do with the money that he would have paid for rent because he didn't pay it? And they said, well, they bought new furniture and a bigger TV, et cetera. I mean, that's the decision that they have to make. But the point is that sometimes we have to be careful not to enable poor decisions. So I'm concerned that we have extended this maybe a little longer, but the report will help for us to find out where it is. And so my question to you is, do you have any concerns about the extending of that beyond 24 months and what that might entail?
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative Petersburg. A few comments. Specifically, to your last question about the time period, right now, you know, the FHP AP dollars are so limited and the need is so significant. I don't have the data right in front of me, but the dollars are not traditionally being spent at that large of a time span. They're being used in a more targeted way to, you know, help somebody pay a utility bill so they literally don't get evicted. That, you know, they're for more prescient critical needs. I do think having this level of resource might provide a little greater flexibility to help somebody stabilize so that they can sort of move forward. And I think that's a goal we should share, for folks to stabilize and have that ability to move forward. And so that speaks to the timelines. I'm sorry, could you repeat? Did I miss another question there? Does that cover it?
That was
okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, that was really the concern, because it really does go outside the norm of what we normally do. And I just have some concerns with that, because what does that mean the next time that we do that, and the next time, and the next time? There is a benefit to staying in a process in which people have an expectation of what's going to happen. And I think, again, in all situations, everybody has a tendency to do the least that is necessary. You know, I would say things like, you know, if you go to a wedding and you have a cash bar versus a free bar, you're going to drink more alcohol, right? And so it's really an issue in which sometimes we can do things that make it easier for people, but not necessarily help them make the tough decisions that we all have to do in real life. And that's just the concern that I have. And thank you for addressing it the best of your ability. Thank you.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Howard. In the amendment, it looks to me like there's a change as far as where the grants can go and how they can flow through. And I'm wondering, it goes to counties. Does it also go to nonprofits and even organizations that are not organized as nonprofits?
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative O'Neill. This would go to existing FHPAP administrators. It's the folks that are already in our communities administering. Folks, I have that list. It's about 20 entities all across the state. In some of our larger counties, it's the county itself. In some greater Minnesota folks, it's a community action program that's been, or Lutheran Social Services. Let's see if I can find, I've got the list right here. Let's see if I can find, so like Stearns, Benton, Sherburn, Wright counties, Lutheran Social Services of Central Minnesota as an example. So it's those kinds of entities, and it's about 20, and the coverage is of all 87 counties.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then can you talk about the audit process that's in existence, or have you changed it at all?
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative O'Neill, there isn't changes to sort of the reporting or the accountability pieces. There are fairly stringent requirements in terms of what our FHPAP providers provide to Minnesota Housing, who oversees the program. I'd also note that, you know, that there are each of these entities has a board that's made up of, you know, government officials, folks like local law enforcement, school staff, and others to help sort of guide the efforts.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then the last question, according to the Star Tribune, it said the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency had about $85 million left in reserves for emergency rental assistance. How does this work with that that's already in their reserves?
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative O'Neill, there are, so Minnesota Housing does have a set of resources that came from federal dollars. This is what they used to administer Rent Help MN, and through a few reauthorizations from monies from other states. As I understand, they have about 75 or 85 million. These resources, because they're specifically authorized by Congress, have their own guidelines and requirements that don't necessarily line up with the same parameters of FHPAP. I do think we hope that those resources will be utilized for rental assistance. This bill will allow dollars to flow more quickly to Minnesotans, and there are some differences in terms of eligibility and things that hopefully that they can complement each other and not sort of overlap.
I guess I do have one.
Representative O'Neill.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought I was at the end, and then I just remembered one more quick. So when I was back on the Public Safety Committee, we had reports quite a lot about homelessness. And it was, so I pay attention to those, and the last report I've looked at, there might be one for 2023, but I haven't seen it. But for 2022, of the 8,000 that were homeless, 4,000 of them had recently been discharged from DOC, which I found rather alarming. So these are folks that absolutely, it's difficult for them to find housing. That's no question, and it's a known fact. But in what you're doing here, since half of them literally are straight out of the DOC and have criminal histories and probably felonies and other reasons why it's difficult for them to get housing, what are you doing in this to specifically address that? Because again, out of 8,000 that you're going to be trying to give assistance to, half of them are very difficult to place and are from the DOC.
Representative Howard.
Chair Olson, Representative O'Neill, that's a really good question. I actually had a meeting with Commissioner Schnell a couple weeks ago. They are actually pursuing some of their own housing-specific initiatives based on their work with their population. That's really exciting outside of this work to sort of target resources specifically for that unique population. I would reference in this program, along with just straight rental assistance or utility assistance, these resources can provide help with housing navigation. And so I know, and sometimes with population that's reentering, some of it is just finding a home that will, and that can be such a barrier and challenge. And so in this way, having that case management support could be important. I'd like to get back to you if there's specifically what FHPAP providers are doing in interactions, because I think it's a good question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate that conversation back.
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Howard, for bringing this forward. I just wanted to say a few things. My colleague across the aisle talked about the supply crisis, and he is absolutely 100% right. We have a housing supply crisis in our state. We particularly have a crisis of housing supply at the deepest levels of affordability, which the area where there's the most need. But unfortunately, it's not that we can only have one crisis at a time. Our housing system, our housing, we think of it as a continuum, as you know, in housing. There are multiple crises at the same time happening. So there is a supply crisis that's kind of undergirding everything, because we have limited supply of affordable home ownership options for people who are ready to move from living in an apartment to living, to being able to buy their own home. We have a supply crisis of market rate rental options. We have a supply crisis, as I said, of those deeply affordable options. And we certainly have it's not a supply crisis, but we have a crisis of homelessness, which Representative Howard talked about. So the fact that we need to build more housing doesn't mean that we don't have people in our communities right now, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people across our state, who are having really profound trouble affording their rent. And it's not because there's like anything wrong with them. It's not because they can't manage their money. It's not because they're like not as good as those of us who don't face issues with affording our housing. It's because we have accepted an economy that is not paying people enough to afford their lives. I happen to live in a city where we have a $15 per hour ordinance. That means that if you work full-time, 2,080 hours is usually how you think of a work year, you make $31,200 before taxes. Also in my city, a two-bedroom apartment, the median cost of it is $1,600 to $1,800 a month. If you're making $31,200 a year before taxes, because I don't, you know, obviously those calculations are different for every household, but even without having that taken off, you're spending 65% of your income just on your rent, not your utilities, not your rental insurance, not any of the extra things that you need, or I mean, they're not extra things, not any of the essential things that also make up your housing price overall. And so we just have to look at that. We have to look at that. We have accepted this economy for working class people. And the outcome of us accepting those economic conditions are that we have families who are working full time and cannot afford their lives and cannot afford to keep a roof over their kids' heads. And we see those costs in our education system and in our medical system, in, you know, emergency department admissions, and we see that cost in our criminal legal system. And so the reality is, right, that we have people in our communities right now who need help. And they need us to build more housing long term. They do. They need our support for like a very healthy investment in housing infrastructure bonds and the other tools that we have to build housing. But they also in this moment need us to act with urgency on the urgent crisis that's that is facing them and their household economies. And so we have to be able to do multiple things. And those of us who work in housing and understand the interconnected steps on the housing continuum from homelessness to transitional housing, to deeply affordable housing, rental housing, to market rate rental housing, naturally occurring affordable housing, to home ownership, know that we're going to need to take urgent action all along that continuum if we are to expect to actually like impact the entire system. So thank you, Representative Howard, for bringing this forward and for your leadership on thinking holistically about like all steps on the housing continuum and the folks who need our help all along that continuum. Thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Howard. It's very hard to follow that. That was great. Thank you so much, Chair Gomez. I had a really mundane question, which doesn't fit really well after what you just said. I also, though, can help perhaps a little bit by adding a piece of information. There was a question about people leaving prison, and I believe that DHS has a proposal in its budget to also to impact that area with housing support dollars. So I just wanted to say that as well. My question, my very mundane question, really just has to do with the language of the bill, Representative Howard, because I'm just not sure if the drafting is very clear, because I'm just sitting reading the language and having a little trouble just understanding exactly what it means. And this is really in the portion about where the grants go, and I heard the answers that were given, so my question is more just to the language here. And so starting like on line 1.16 and 1.17, so community-based nonprofit organization without a sponsoring resolution may apply for and receive grants outside the metropolitan area. So maybe this doesn't matter, and if I'm just being too picky or something, it's fine, but I'm not sure if that means the grants are outside or the organization is outside the metropolitan area. So there's a little confusion for me just in that language. And then I have another kind of similar picky little thing about how it's written. And I don't know if these are just more for staff to just address the drafting piece. And we could even take it offline. I just thought since this is going to go to the floor, it might be best to raise it now if there is a kind of a need to fix something.
Representative Howard, do you want to respond to that, or
Representative Olson, and then maybe to our nonpartisan? I will say this language was developed in consultation with Minnesota Housing, in part to make sure that the resources were accessible for existing grantees, which are counties or often in greater Minnesota, nonprofit organizations. But I'll see if our nonpartisan staff have more to add on your specific language questions.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with responding to the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Liebling. Justin Cope of the House Research Department. The FHPAP program allows allows there to be multiple types of grantees to provide services outside the metropolitan counties. Those entities include the counties themselves, conglomerations of the counties, tribes, and nonprofit organizations that have received a sponsoring resolution from the county or counties in which they operate. The language which you quoted, Representative Liebling, would lift the requirement of needing a sponsoring resolution for nonprofit organizations to provide services outside the metropolitan counties.
Thank you. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so the other one I had a question about is just right there, 1.19 and down to 1.21. So that whole paragraph. If the agency determines the metropolitan area is in need of additional support to serve households that are homeless or at risk of homelessness, the agency may grant funds to entities other than counties in the metropolitan area, including but not limited to nonprofit organizations. So I wonder if what is intended there is the agency may grant funds to entities other than metropolitan area counties, including but not limited to nonprofit organizations. Again, if I'm being just too picky, that's fine, but I just wanted to flag it in case some change was needed.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Mr. Cope.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Liebling. Within the metropolitan counties, only the counties themselves can receive awards of grants to provide FHPAP assistance under the statutory program. This would be allowing the nonprofits and other entities also to provide those services.
Anything further, Representative Liebling?
So, Madam Chair, so is that, you mean, so within the metropolitan counties, other organizations in the metropolitan county area are being allowed to do the work as well. Is that correct?
Mr. Cope.
Madam Chair, Representative Liebling, correct. This would be increasing the types of entities that can provide assistance within the metropolitan counties.
Representative Liebling.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I guess I would just suggest looking at that language, and Representative Howard, if you think it's fine, but I think it might be rearranged a bit to make that more clear, but I'll stop there. Thank you.
To that point.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Howard, that's kind of what I was trying to ask you, and thank you, Representative Liebling, you're very direct, but you had said to me that this money is only going to existing recipients, but what the staff just said is that now it's expanding to who can actually distribute the money. So this is actually an underlying change. Was that your intention, Representative Howard?
Representative Howard.
Geraldson, the intent is to provide it to existing grantees, and so we could follow up offline to make sure we're clear on that with the language.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, so the language is different than how you presented it. That's why I asked you that question, and thank you, Representative Liebling, for actually reading it into the record, because what you're actually doing, and maybe the recipients might be the same, but the in-between, you're changing. So it's going from the Housing Finance Agency to some unknown entity in the middle to a recipient at the end, and you're changing the middle. You're allowing anybody, even if they're not a nonprofit, because that's what it says, but not limited to nonprofits, in the middle to distribute funds. That's the change. And so I'm not sure if that was your intention, because you want the end recipient to be the same as what your testimony was, but the middle is changing, and that's a substantial difference. That's a significant difference. You've got the housing agency, that's the same. The end recipient, that's the same. But everybody in the middle, we've completely changed who's eligible to pass through. And so that would be my concern. And I realize you have 20 entities that are currently able to do that, but you've just expanded it in this language. I'm not sure if that was your intent, but that is the language as written.
Representative Howard, do you want to answer, or does Mr. Cope follow up? Representative Howard.
I'll just say to Charles, Representative O'Neill, happy to have a conversation offline to make sure the language is reflective of the intent.
Thank you. Further discussion? Lead Garofalo, would you? Okay. I don't see anybody else on the list, so we will end discussion here. Thank you, Representative Howard, and thank you, Mr. Cope. And with that, Representative Howard, would you like to renew your motion that House File 1440, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register?
I would indeed. I would make that motion, and I would encourage members to support it. It's urgently needed, and look forward to moving forward.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Motion in front of us. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
No.
The motion fails, and House File 1440, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. And members, next Monday during our normal meeting time, we'll be having the Tribal Sovereignty Day presentation, which the Speaker had emailed about over the weekend, so we won't be meeting at that time. There will likely be another meeting perhaps this week or at a different time next week outside of our normal meeting time. We're going to be losing that committee time, and we only meet once a week. So please watch your email for that. Leave Garofalo in the loop as we do go about scheduling that to try to give as much heads up as possible. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. GLP members, right after committee, just over in my office right over there just for a very quick meeting. Thank you.
And seeing no further items before us, we are adjourned.